Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are speaking to tech industry veteran and author of Scaling Silicon Valley Style, Mr. Roland Sebelink. Mr. Sebelink is now heading up his own company, advising and coaching founders of tech startups and scale-up companies around the world, and has plenty of stories from his experiences working in major startup to scale-up companies. And Mr. Sebelink, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. Much appreciate being here.
And the pleasure is certainly ours. Looking forward to hearing from you in all regards today. So, to kick things off here today, tell us what excites you about working with tech startups and scale-up founders.
Well, what else could excite me than the fact that these are the very people that drive the future of our planet, right? A lot of the innovation of going around the world has actually come from innovation in technologies, and usually it's people that turn these innovations into companies that really change the world. So it's amazing to be at the forefront of that evolution and to see all the good that's coming into the world right from the first row.
Now, Roland, what would you say are the top three things you know to be true about companies going through major growth and scale-ups?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is that the people I work with invariably come from a startup background. So they've learned to be iterating, to be very close to the customer, almost be in control of the experience on a very micro basis. And as the company starts hitting on something, as it starts growing and scaling, the one thing I would immediately say is they have to let go of some of these startup habits and get into a new mode. It's a scale-up mode. Now, the difficulty is that a lot of people also feel, oh, does this mean I am becoming like a big company and I should adopt all these corporate habits? I always say, no, that's not true. It's like going through adolescence. Yeah, you may be turning into an adult, but you're not immediately a fully fledged adult of 50 years old that's fully settled. There'll be a lot of evolution, a lot of learning going on. And that analogy really applies to a scale-up company as well. So there's a specific way of working and a specific set of goals that a scale-up company reaches that is different from a typical early-stage startup, but it's also very different from a mature company that has its return on investment calculations and all the quarterly reports that they send out. So it's a different body of practices. That's the first thing I would say. Now, you asked me for three things. So a second thing I would say that's true about companies going through major growth and scale up is that the talent that they hire, especially the first 50 to 100 people that come on board, are absolutely crucial in not only setting the culture of the company, but actually driving success in the long run. And it's often underestimated how important these people are as bearers of the culture, primarily because in a large company, a mature company, a lot of the day-to-day work has already been driven by processes, by habits, by procedures that are all there. In a scale-up company, all of that stuff is not there yet. And so you have to rely much more on smart people, people driven by the right values, people who buy into the same vision and mission to drive that company forward. Over time, this will then actually become the basis of the culture that more and more people will buy into. And the last thing that maybe is common knowledge for people in Silicon Valley and in the venture world, but that is still very important to point out for people that are a little bit outside of that world, is that in these companies that are going through major growth and scale-up phase, growth is absolutely paramount. You hear a lot of people criticizing Silicon Valley companies for not making a profit, you know, spending so much money just to conquer market share. And I would say it is an absolute truth that that is completely conscious. Their goal is to grow. Their goal is to disrupt and ultimately conquer a market. And so prioritizing growth is absolutely the most important thing they can do. if they were also to prioritize profitability or spending less or maybe taking fewer risks, then they basically take away from the high stakes bet that they are placing. And this would mean that this company is much less likely to reach that binary goal of becoming a new leader in a new market. And so I wanted to point that out, that growth is paramount. And then before that, I said the importance of the right hires, the right talent to drive the company forward. And of course, in the beginning, that the scale-up phase is very different from both the startup phase and the mature company phase.
Certainly do appreciate your feedback and three things to know to be true about companies going through major growth and scale-ups. Good stuff there. Tell us, what things should a company have in place when it's preparing for a major scale-up? Get into some of those details.
Yeah, so when a company is starting to hit on market success, it automatically is becoming a scale-up company. I'm assuming they want to conquer that market they've just discovered. The key things that have in place is a trusting team of founders and the people that they hired. So the typical starting point is a founder or two founders that make all the decisions very micro style and tell everyone else what to do. At this stage, you have to start trusting some of the people you hire to take care of some of the technical decisions. And that means you have to have a good discussion and debating culture that helps people to come to terms, to a common vision, to an aligned plan, and to common goals. Now, the plan for that is really important. So I often recommend that people draw up what I call a one-page strategic plan. This is a term that I borrowed from Vern Harnish, the writer of Scaling Up. And what it means is that the typical leaders of the company sit together and agree on what is our long-term vision, what are our three-year goals, our one-year goal, and then also what are the tactical things we absolutely need to accomplish this quarter, what we call the quarterly rocks. And so that trusting team that's able to debate things and then a joint plan that they can all buy into are the elements of the architecture that can drive true momentum and true scaling moving forward.
Certainly some solid info so far. Much appreciated today. We're joined by tech industry veteran and author of Scaling Silicon Valley Style, Mr. Roland Siebelink, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, as we continue on, how can startups keep their future and roots while still adapting to the changing business needs?
That's a great question. I think the misunderstanding is that the culture and the roots are inherently linked to being a early stage scrappy startup. That is what I would not advise. As I mentioned before, it's important to realize that the scale-up phase is inherently different from the startup phase. You're growing up, right? And embracing that growing up means letting go of some maybe childish habits and setting some new habits that help you deal with a larger number of customers, more investment, larger number of people. Now, coming back to the question, well, how can they then keep their culture and roots? If it's not about being a startup, then what is that culture and what are those roots? And there it is very important that the founders and the people that they hire early on agree on some of the core values that drive the behavior in the company. Now, a lot of people from corporate worlds talk about core values as these things on the wall that they never adhere to. But I really believe that every founder, set of founders, has a few areas of behavior that they find completely acceptable versus others that they find non-acceptable. For example, do you want your team to be very scrappy, so not to spend any dime if they can afford it? Or are you more a believer in you have to spend money in order to make money? Those are both very relevant values and very acceptable values, but they cannot exist both in the same culture. It's either a scrappy culture or a let's go for it culture, and then both can be very successful. However, if you have people in the same company that one set believes the scrappy side and the other set believes the spending side, then most likely you're going to constantly have conflicts. And that is one example. There are some other examples around what degree of autonomy do you expect. Do you basically want everyone in the company to take their own decisions? Or is it more of a disciplined culture where hierarchy is respected? Again, both can work and lead to very successful companies, But if you have both values living together in the same company, you're going to have constant conflict. And so next to those core values, I would also say it is important to have that overall vision, if you will, the purpose of the company identified. Like, what is really the change we want to make into the world, and why is that emotionally important to us? If you have people connected to that emotional purpose, then that is the one thing that never changes. And it also means that everything else, the tactics you need to change, the channels you go into, the customers you target, the marketing you do, the technology you develop, all of that can change many times over, as long as you can always make the case that it still serves that big, unchanging emotional purpose.
Another question for you. After all the expanding and scaling up starts to settle, what is your advice for keeping the company healthy and becoming more successful? Who wouldn't want more information and advice in that regard?
Oh, well, that's a question that doesn't come up very quickly, because people think that this expansion and scale-up phase lasts a year or two. Well, in reality, it's probably more 10 to 15 years. And so I usually work with companies that are still in the middle of this. Now, of course, at some point in time, every growth curve starts plateauing, and a lot of the processes and the confusion around how to operate will start to settle. My advice for keeping the company healthy and becoming still more successful at that stage is to still have a bigger purpose in mind that you can keep driving towards. Let's call it the bigger mountain that you want to conquer. As an example, Salesforce.com, which was a small startup just 15 years ago, has in the meanwhile become a very large company, very successful, and is still very purpose-driven in getting people away from pre-installed software and having all of their business processes run on the web. Of course, they've added components to it now where they spend employee time and profits on charity so that the emotional connection gets even stronger. But I would say Salesforce is a great example of a company that has remained very healthy, very entrepreneurial, even though it is now by all rights a large and mature company. And some other companies like Microsoft were able to do that for a very long time. I would say Microsoft was even a story of a company that kind of lost its way, and then now in the last years has gotten back onto that very successful track, becoming a much healthier company again. And I think those are great examples of companies that can keep that entrepreneurial zeal alive, even if they keep growing and become bigger and more mature and more dominant in their space.
Well, Mr. Siebelink, we certainly have appreciated your time and all the information shared here per your expertise. Much appreciated. If listeners wanted to connect with you or get more information on you or your book, Scaling Silicon Valley Style, where's the best place to get these details?
Well, the best is to just download the first two chapters of my book that are available for free on scalingsiliconvalleystyle.com. And for further information, of course, people can visit my company's website. It's rolandsiebelink.com, or if we want to abbreviate it, very simple, r13k.co. So r13k.co for those that are not that commonly acquainted with Dutch name spelling. Probably a little bit easier, right? Yeah, that's where they can get more information. I also do relatively many public speaking events. So I'm going to be in London, going to be in New York, in Chicago, Madrid in the coming months. So look me up in the typical event directories, and I hope we all be able to meet in person.
And that certainly is a great idea for those tuning in from those locations. Definitely take advantage of that opportunity. Again, Roland, all the best, and we thank you for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
It was my pleasure entirely. Really appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with tech industry veteran and author of Scaling Silicon Valley Style, Mr. Roland Siebelink. And for further details, again, visit rolandsiebelink.com. This link will be added within the show notes of this broadcast. For ease, and this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.